Welcome to the podcast. Young in Love.
Hello, guys. I welcome you to another episode of the Young in Love podcast. And as always, you are highly welcome. If you're a first-time listener, I love you. You can check out our other exciting episodes. And I'm sure you definitely find something good for you. On today's episode, we are going to be discussing the experience of a lady. You know, a lady who waited to be married before having sex, how she was able to cope with the premarital pressure, her experience when she eventually got married. And you know, there are a lot of stuff going on about waiting. Some people are like, how will you know if you're sexually compatible with your partner? How would you know this? How would you know that? This is this, this is that. But today I have brought the horse to the podcast because they say, hear from the horse's mouth. Stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back. On this episode, I have brought in a very, very special guest. But because of the nature of the episode, she has opted to be anonymous. However, I'm going to be saying a few things about her. She is she has a diploma in public health from James Lind Institute, Singapore. And she's currently open to opportunities with international non-governmental organizations, you know, that are focused or centered in human health and all of that stuff. She's open to being a program coordinator, a program assistant, project manager, project assistant, you know, all of that stuff. So though she's anonymous, if if there's a vacancy in your organization and you're looking to fill it, you can contact me at youninlove_podcast and I will do well to establish that connection. So we are going to delve right into the conversation for today.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be on Young in Love podcast for today. I am one of the biggest fans of this podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have spent so much time always advertising. In fact, I long for every new episode that comes out. And today I'm featuring on this episode. I'm so happy about that.
Thank you. So you waited to be married before you had sex, before you got married, because you are a pretty lady. It's unfortunate that others cannot see you. Very pretty, right? Skin like butter, you know, all that stuff. How were you able to handle the pressure as a single lady before you got married? Because I believe guys would have, you know, tried to have their way with you before you got married.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's really not easy handling pressure. I remember one experience I had where I went to a brother's house to...
She said brother.
Yes, a fellowship brother.
Okay.
To bring something. My seminar was the next day, so I needed to finish up everything and then make my presentation. So I had to stay over. I didn't even know when I slept off. And then all I felt was somebody's hand touching my body and all. And I'm waking up to... giving him a very resounding slap. Wow. Honestly, guys don't they don't ask a lady for consent most times, and they just want to do as they like, which is very wrong.
You're talking about the guys you experienced as a single lady.
Yes, okay. Honestly, and that made, I'm sure that guy, anywhere he is, he'll be thinking about that slap. Oh, this girl is not like that too. Who knows if he had done it to some other people, but no.
And to think you were sleeping and he was...
Yes, doing something like that was so wrong. Yeah, very wrong. And another thing is, it's not easy. Like you said, yes, I would not categorically say I'm pretty, but yes, I had so much pressure even in my... all through my universities, especially from lecturers. They want to have your number. They want you to come and meet them in a hotel. And if you don't do that, you're definitely going to be failing their courses. In fact, I remember one once told me that he doesn't see me passing his course. Because he had been chasing me right from my 100 level till I got to 300 level. And I offer this course for from 200 level to 300 level. And people keep talking about him in the entire faculty. They're like, ah, you see this particular man, just have to give in. If you don't give in, you will not pass his course. So, in fact, a lot of people who did didn't have problem passing, especially medical students.
So you did not?
Why would I do that?
Now the question is, did you pass the course?
At first, I did not. But luckily for me, they changed. He went on sabbatical leave and another HOD came in. And another HOD came in. I passed this course.
Nice, nice.
So if I had given in, what if I had given in and I didn't pass? What if I had given in and I developed one disease that is incurable? Because for people to be, for ladies to be like, ah, you see this man, in fact, some guys even arrange girls for him. It's to that extent. So somebody like that, why would I want to share my body? No.
Okay. What is the other way you handled this pressure? I mean,
honestly, I told myself that being a church girl will help me.
So you buried yourself in church activities?
Yes, I did. And if I had difficulties, instead of relying on people, I rather go. My roommate taught me how to go to the altar and pray. For every time she had challenges, especially with school, she would just carry herself, go to the main church and kneel down at the altar. So I told myself, if she can do this, why can't I do it? Why would I? Because if you depend on a guy, if you call him and say, ah, see what is happening, you want to offer his shoulders. From shoulders, he'll offer you something else, which you will not want to go in for. So I just decided to remain. It's not like I didn't have male friends. I did. But let's be friends on a friendship level and let's stay there.
Okay, but can I ask you, why did you decide to wait till marriage? What was the rationale for your decision?
Well, they say experience is the best teacher. But it's good to learn from someone else's experience. I have an aunt who never stopped haunting me. She was not haunting me like I'm a terrible person or she needs to discipline me to an end. No. My aunt made me see reasons. You know, some parents, when they want to teach their children about everything about sex, they'll keep hiding things. In fact, my mother once told me that if I go close to a man, that I'll get pregnant. Do you know? Yeah. But my aunt gave me every details I needed. She told me about her experiences. She told me, don't go to a guy's house. You think going there will make you just normal, but they will end up raping you. She will give you every details you need to know. So my aunt gave me all this advice and she taught me how to respect my body. So because of that, that advice that she gave me made me always sing. In fact, every time I want to relate with a guy, maybe hug, maybe give a peck, it's like my aunt is talking to me in my head. That alone made me to just calm down. And then every time I
because you didn't want to disrespect your body
at all. And then every time I want to relate to girl, I tell you, if you know you don't have intentions of marrying, in fact, she keeps telling me, I should tell them, do you want to marry me? And then if you know you don't have the intentions of marrying me, then I don't have anything to do with you.
Are you serious?
Yes.
So is it that every person who approaches you, especially males, I mean, at the time, because you're married now.
Yes.
Is it that everybody who comes to you as a man must have the intention of marrying you? Are there not times where people just want to be your friends?
There are times.
No strings attached.
There are times there are guys like that. And
you know,
I had them as friends as well.
Yes.
But
so why would you feel the need to ask, do you want to marry me? Why don't you just let the friendship progress?
When you start making insinuations or when you start saying
sexual
things,
okay.
I will just give it to you. I'll tell you, see, you're not going to marry me. So why would you want me to do something like this?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
So don't come and defy my body.
Yes.
Okay, so for you, it wasn't a religious thing. It wasn't about your faith as a Christian.
No, it was not.
It was just
because the religion was not enough. even if you pray from now to tomorrow, people will still pressure you.
No, I mean, external pressure is a given. It's okay. About you now deciding not to give in to that pressure.
Yes, it was my decision.
Yeah, it wasn't religious. It wasn't faith-based. It's not that you're a Christian and God frowns at fornication, any of that stuff.
No.
It was just you wanting to respect your body.
Yes.
Why do you think religion is not enough for decisions like this?
Religion is not enough because even if they come and preach, in fact, in churches, they don't tell you, don't go to a man's household. They just give you the basis of what you think you should know. Nobody tells you in details the reason why you shouldn't relate with a guy sexually. Nobody tells you the reason why.
No, but they say it's because it's a sin. It's like fornication.
Yes, that's what they think, but that does not help.
So what is enough? If faith, religion is not enough, what is?
Your mindset.
Okay.
If you put your mind to it and you're determined not to do it, I think for every time you want, and then you set, I wouldn't say setting up a goal, but you set a reminder in your head. Set that reminder and tell yourself.
Do you mean boundaries?
Aside setting boundaries, you can set boundaries and then you meet a very fine guy.
Yeah, you know.
The guy is already, okay, you want to hug him. And then you want to sit down, you want to relax on his shoulders.
Your hormones are pumping.
So why not give yourself that reminder? I have decided to keep myself for my husband. Once you keep telling yourself that, it becomes a reminder in your head. And then when you meet that guy, you tell yourself, auntie, this man will not marry me. So let me just tell myself that I've decided to keep myself for my husband. That alone, you don't need to say it out. Just tell yourself that. And then when you do so, on meeting the guy, you can maybe talk to him, maybe gist, maybe laugh, maybe go out on dates. But that constant reminder that you don't want to do that thing will always be in your head.
Okay.
And then I'm not faulting religion, forgive me. Because I remember one time an elder came to our fellowship to preach, and he in details told us why, as a woman, in fact, he said God loved a woman. And we're like, what does that mean? He now went on to describe that God didn't on purpose give men vagina. No, he did not. Rather, he gave women that because he said even when you get married to a man, whatever favor God is bringing to your family, he gives to you. So the man is receiving it from you, not from himself. That's why God says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. So it's when you find that wife of yours that you get that favor. So he explained to us and told us that, ladies, keep yourself, because as you are down there, God has already locked you for that man that belongs to you.
Okay.
And not one boyfriend that you just met that will now take you to the movies or buy you afang soup. Then it was raining. It was raining food. You know, ladies, we like food. I love food.
Yeah. You know, this thing you said has made me remember something. When you say, you know, God has locked and, you know, made you for this particular man, your husband. Let's talk about sexual compatibility now.
Okay.
You know, it's one of the fears that young people have when it comes to keeping themselves for marriage.
That's true.
Because you hear a lot of psychologists and counselors, marriage counselors, saying that many married people are not saying it, but sex is a big issue in many marriages.
That's very
true. Sex is a big issue. So now young people like me hoping to be married someday, that fear is there that, what if I don't experience this person now? How do I know that this person is capable of truly pleasing me? Can you comment on that? As a single lady, before you got married, did you ever have that fear? Did it ever cross your mind that how would you know if you don't experience the person first?
Recently, I think that kind of thought has been raining. During my days, I don't think people talked about that.
When you say during your day, just so we put everything in context, what year are we talking about?
Okay, we are looking at 2014, 2012, 2011.
Okay, I mean, that wasn't too far back.
It wasn't too far, but...
At that time, how old were you?
Okay, I was, I think about 24 or thereabout.
24?
Yes, I think I would need to calculate that. I think I was about 24 or thereabout.
Okay.
But The truth is, I want to answer this with a question first. How many people do you want to test to be compatible with?
Okay, good question.
Yes, how many? Okay, what if you meet somebody today and you want to know if you guys are compatible?
And sexually at the end of the day, compatible.
Yeah, sexually compatible. And at the end of the day, you both are not. What do you do?
You leave the person and you leave to the next.
You keep repeating the same cycle. Same like that. Why not probably wait for the right man? People learn.
Okay, you're saying this thing can be learned.
Yes, it can. Oh, okay. There are people who meet sex therapists and they teach them what they need to do.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So instead of testing A, B, C, D to know if they are compatible, why don't I just wait for that right man? And then if I think he's not compatible, we decide to learn. Marriage itself, it's not a bed of roses, let me put it like that.
Yeah.
Marriage is sweet if you put in all the efforts that you need to put in. So if I want my husband to give me the cowgirl style, or what do they call this?
You mean if you need to give
I need to give my husband
the cowgirl style.
There are things I need to watch. In fact, someone once mentioned to me that.
What is it, things you need to watch? Are you talking about pornography?
Yes. Someone told me that.
So you think pornography within marriage is okay?
Yes, it is. For me, I don't know about other people's opinion.
Okay.
You know, there are some people who feel that the missionary style is the only style for married people that are godly.
That's godly.
I don't believe in that.
I mean, I don't see in the Bible where it says
it's not written there either.
Yes.
So why would I not want to
explore?
After all, it's not a sin.
So in essence, you're saying you didn't have that fear?
No, I did not.
Never.
Hmm. Because I was preparing my mind for something better. Hmm. Instead of just jumping. No.
Now that you waited and you were not scared and, you know, none of that stuff bothered you about sexual compatibility, when you eventually got married, can you tell me what your first sexual experience was?
Oh, it wasn't a pleasant one.
With your husband the first time. Please say that again loudly. I want you to speak out.
It was never a pleasant one.
It wasn't pleasant?
No.
Why? Well, and sorry, just to add, so you can answer all at once. You know this thing, how they say after your wedding night, there's so much emphasis on your wedding night. I want you to comment on that. Your first sexual experience, was it on your wedding night? Was it after, you know?
It wasn't on my wedding night because the stress and everything, I slept off.
Okay. You slept off beside your husband?
Yes.
Did your husband sleep off?
Yeah, he did.
So both of you slept off?
Mm-hmm.
Or he slept off because his wife slept off?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I slept off. The stress, and in fact, we were supposed to remain at the hotel, but the next day we moved out. So I don't think we had the time to do anything because in fact, what was in my head was how I'm going to move out the next day, how we are going to go back home and all that. So the second day, wow.
Okay, that was the second day, was the first sexual experience.
Yes.
In the morning, afternoon, evening.
It was in the night, midnight.
Okay.
The experience was not okay. The first night, how do I talk about the pain?
Did you say pain?
Yes.
It was painful.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
It was painful and... My apologies for the silence. And I think it took a lot of time for me to at least accept. I know I screamed. It was like the whole world is coming down on me. Mm. And
did you scratch his back?
No. No, I did not. I think all I was saying was, baby, please take it easy. Please take it easy. Because you know when you're attempting to do something for the first time and
it's hurting.
Yes. You just want it to end, or you just want to keep taking it slow. But
was this the same for your husband? Like, was it also your husband's first time?
Oh, I think yes. But we need to ask him that.
Okay.
I think we're both inexperienced. Let me put it like that.
All right.
We're actually both inexperienced. But then pornography came into play. I remember.
But that was after your first sexual experience.
No, before.
Oh, before.
Yes, before we.
So you mean as single people, before you guys got married, the two of you were watching porn?
Yes.
In preparation for that night.
Of course, true. Because I remember him telling me that you're not going to be doing this because of church. And if you get pregnant, in fact, it's a rule in the church, if you get pregnant, I mean, you have to do marriage blessing. So that's mindset. But I already knew this was the man I was getting married to. Because the very first day we met, when we started dating, he started introducing me to everybody, meet my wife to be. Okay. Everybody, meet my wife to be. So I felt, okay, so this is the man I'm getting married to.
Okay. Did pornography do a good job in preparing you for that night?
Yes, it did.
Because you said it wasn't pleasant and it was painful.
Yes.
But so what did you learn from pornography that helped your first sexual experience as a married person now?
Yes.
To be better?
I learned how to take in the pain and enjoy the pleasure.
You mean endure the pain or just not pay attention to
it? No, not pay attention to the pain. And then I think I read a lecture on it first, even before I started watching the pornography. The woman was explaining in details. She's like, your mind, if your mind is there, that means you are going to enjoy every phase of it. So it boils down to your mindset.
Yes. So sex is a huge percent of the mindset.
Yes.
Now, I want you to reconcile the first statement you made about it not being pleasurable. You said it wasn't a pleasant experience that first time.
True.
Reconcile that with this issue of your mindset, because you already read material. So after reading the material, did you not prepare your mind for it?
I did. But
so what happened?
Experiences. It's way better.
So can we now agree that no amount of pornography or whatever you read and stuff can adequately prepare you
for
the real thing?
Yes, I agree with you 100% on that.
So is pornography then justified?
No.
It's not?
Yes.
Would you recommend it though? For someone
who...
You will.
I will recommend
to be married someday. Would you recommend pornography for me?
Yes, I will recommend it for you.
Even though it's not justified?
Yes, it's not. It's not justified, but I will recommend it for you. So that you will know, you will just have the idea of, this is what I'm getting into.
Okay.
But you have to get...
Even though it doesn't prepare me for it though.
I will still recommend it.
Okay.
Because in your head, you're like, okay, let me just be picturing all the things I saw.
Okay.
Yes. All the things I saw, let me just picture it. But when you now want to do the do.
Do the do. It's a different ball game.
A totally different ball game.
Okay. But did the experience get better over time?
Yes, it did.
And the pain lessened?
Yes. But for me, I didn't have much time to have...
more?
Yes.
Why was that?
One, I got pregnant.
What? Hold on. Was it from that first night that you got pregnant?
Yes, I was ovulating, so I got pregnant.
Damn!
NYSC happened.
Oh, you had to go for service?
Yes, and I didn't even know I was pregnant.
Did you redeploy though? Because you could.
Yes, I did redeploy when I found out in camp that I was pregnant.
You were pregnant.
So I came back to Abuja.
Your husband scored the goal immediately. Wow.
Yeah, he's a strong man.
So you did, like, when you redeployed, because you can still, I've never been pregnant, okay? So I don't know. But you can still have sex, right, as a pregnant woman.
Yes, but it's asking gentle sex. Ones didn't let me. I was always running away. I wanted to stay on my own. In fact, all through pregnancy, I was finding it difficult. It took a lot of people some of my friends that I know that have had experience, mothers, to call me to say, see, this thing you're running away from, it's going to help you. Mm-hmm. It's going to help you when you want to give birth.
Okay, so
I was like, how?
Have sex.
He said, if you don't want to have an episiotomy, you better start having it now.
Allow your husband.
Please, what's that? Explain. Episiotomy is, they call it a tear.
Okay.
Especially when down there is very tight. So you will not want for the baby to come out. They will have to tear your vagina a little and then sew
but
back.
But women
later.
Who are like women who are sexually active, they still tear them.
Well, I don't know about that, but the doctor did tell me that. In fact, he even told me to offer a CS that he does not think I will push this baby.
And that's because he knew your history,
yes.
that you were not sexually active
yes.
before. And the one time you decided to do it, you got pregnant. Like, so, but I mean, now that you've gone through that experience and your child is how old now?
My child is about 4 years old.
She's four?
Yes.
Okay, so would you advise that a young lady takes in right after marriage, especially if she was waiting?
No, it's her choice. Everybody has
it's her
their
choice.
Own choice.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's her choice, but I'm just asking you. Would you advise, if someone came to you?
No, I will not advise you. I'll advise you to use the first 2 years of your marriage to explore.
Especially if you were waiting.
Yes.
Have fun. Hit it.
Thank you.
What if the husband is a strong man now, like your own?
Okay.
So they'll start using protection or...
There are safe periods, but it's not really safe. Let me put it like that. In fact, I'm just speaking based on what I would have wanted. In fact, what I wanted to really explore at least for a year or two, then...
It's surprising that you would say this because you already said you were ovulating.
Yes.
So you knew your cycle and then you were going to dig it with your husband and
true.
You did nothing to prevent the pregnancy. I mean, you signed up for that.
That's very true.
Does it ever cross your mind that there could be a better experience out there? Because from what we have discussed so far, you have only known your husband.
Yes.
Yes. So does it sometimes cross your mind that, okay, what if I could experience some sort of pleasure, you know, something better out there? Does it ever cross your mind ever?
It does. I won't lie.
Okay.
I'm human.
Right.
And I have seen fine guys, let me put it like that,
yeah.
fine guys out there. You know, these days, the bearded men, let me put them in quotes, but why would I want to do that? This is where religion comes to play.
Even though religion wasn't enough at that time.
At that time, this time around, no. Because I feel if I give out myself, I'm giving out what belongs to someone else.
What belongs to your husband.
Yes, what belongs
and
to my
husband.
You love
him that much, not to...
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so love now is also playing a role.
Yes,
besides
true.
Your faith as a Christian, love. What do you say to those people who say you can love your spouse and still, you know, do stuff? Doesn't mean you don't love your spouse.
Do they actually love their spouse?
That's what they say. So
that's because do you know the truth? The truth is, even as a married woman, there are men who come after you. In fact, once you walk up to me, the very first thing I tell you is, I'm sorry, I am married.
Okay. So you wear your marriage like a badge?
Yes. I tell you straight to your face, I'm sorry, I'm married. Are you sure? I have a picture of my daughter and I and my husband as my screensaver. So I'm showing you. I say, look at this so you will know. Are you sure you're the one there? Yes, I'm the one. I am married. Some will say, okay, I'm sorry to disturb you. Some will say, oh, please, let's be friends. And I'll keep insisting, no. No means no. Because
are you saying you can't be friends with a man?
I don't have a problem being friends with them.
Okay.
But don't exceed your boundary.
Okay.
Don't make insinuations or don't talk about things that will make me block you, because I'll definitely do.
Okay. But do you sometimes worry that your husband is thinking the same? Especially because you just said it feels like it was also his first time with you. So you are the only person he has experienced. And especially because you took in right after wedding, you know, just the first time that you were pregnant and then your hormones didn't let you, you know, flow in that whole sexual thing. Plus, you know, postpartum, he will not just get in there right away. So, you know, all that period of delay, I mean, for him, you know, not being able to have sex with you, plus you being the only, do you feel that sometimes that thought is also crossing his mind?
Yes.
Do you worry about it?
Before, at the early stage of our marriage, I used to worry about it.
You were worried that you were not giving him the way you saw it in pornography?
And then I felt like some of these girls coming around were actually a problem.
Okay.
But later on, I think I became matured enough to just not let it bother me.
When you say mature, do you mean you became more secure?
Yes.
Did he do anything to enable that security? Did he reassure you? Or you just had to force yourself, like, to be secure? Like, just remove your mind.
I forced myself to be secure.
He didn't do anything to reassure you?
He has done a lot to reassure me.
Okay.
But I needed to tell myself that, see this thing, don't go there.
Like, don't let your mind wander.
Don't let your mind go there. Because no matter how much of a reassurance someone gives to you, what you have in your head is what is in your head. Do you understand?
Okay.
Unless you tell yourself, no, why would I want to disturb myself or bother myself about these things?
Something you can't really control.
Yes, you can't control, because the moment you start thinking about it, the moment you start making him feel like you are a cheat when he's not, that moment you start pushing him.
Okay.
That lady you are avoiding him from talking to, you relate with her more.
Okay.
In fact, he will stop telling you that this person called me, or he will stop keeping his phone around you.
Prevent suspicion.
Yes.
And all that.
He'll stop keeping his phone around you. Or there are times we usually watch movies or all these funny comedies on our phone. On his phone rather. So what if I start reacting I start acting that way? That means I will not be able to lie with him and watch those movies, because he will start hiding things, which is not supposed to be. And that will give room for him to start going out or maybe dating other girls.
Okay. But has he ever insinuated that the thought has crossed your own mind? And do you think it bothers him?
No. I think my husband has given me all the free mind or the free hand I don't think I will ever have. Why am I saying this? I go out with my friends.
When you say friends?
Male, female.
Okay.
I relate with them. And I'm telling him, Oga, see where I am, or I'm texting him. You can't ever come back home and see him worrying. And then when people talk about it, they tell you, I trust my wife. I know what she can do and what she
can do. Word. That's the word. I trust my wife. Okay.
So that alone will not even give me the reason to do anything, or will not even make him insinuate something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so now we're just to curate a list. We've talked about religion, love, and trust.
Yes.
So these are things that would help.
It's very important.
Okay.
And understanding whom you got married to. My husband is someone who prefers church things. Like, he likes doing church things. He likes going to church. He likes being dedicated.
Is that a guarantee though?
No, it's not. I'm just saying. While I, on the other hand, I will not say I'm weary. But if you want to describe me that way, I don't mind.
You have a touch of weary.
Yeah. You know, like, I want to go out. I want to go see a movie. I want to go sit down with people. I want to go, you know, stuff like that. That is who I am. Yes, he's
your
very
is
reserved. In fact, the word my friends use is, you married a reserved man. Yeah, so understanding who you got married to will make you at least be happy that, even if she's in Kafanchan, I know what she's doing. Do you understand?
Okay.
It's when you don't understand somebody that you got married to, maybe he's in church, you'll now be thinking, okay, he's following church girls. Or he's going to see one church girl aside.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Thank you so much. What is your advice to young men and women practicing abstinence before marriage?
Stay strong.
Stay strong.
Very strong.
Brothers and sisters together. Stay strong.
Until you find the right partner, both male, both female, because abstinence is for both male and female.
Yeah, that's why I said young men and women.
Stay
strong.
If they pressure you with money, collect the money and run.
Collect the money. Guys, you know what I say. Don't collect the money.
Don't mind me. I'm just kidding. Don't collect the money, because the money can lead
you
to trouble.
If you're broke small, can't you just like take some?
We'll have people that will help you. I will not ask anything from
you. Okay, what is your advice now to married people who abstain from sex, you know, just like you until they were married, but who feel that there could be something out there?
No, don't look at something out there. Explore within. Yes, I remember I was talking with a friend who had my same situation recently. She's telling me, she was like, madam, I would like to get some things that will make me, you know, I want to learn how to reach orgasm. I want to learn how to read. And I'm like, it's right. It's fine. Okay, don't worry. There are sex enhancers that people buy and all that. If you want to try it, try. If you don't want to try, try and explore other methods or other positions. That's the word. Try and explore other positions that will help you. Do you get? So if you want to explore your exploration within
the marriage.
Because that man you think you're going to meet out there, what if he has one disease?
You're always about disease.
Yes, now there are diseases out there, for crying out loud. Do you know what it means for somebody to start touching your body and then somebody is giving you something you didn't bargain for?
So, but hold on though.
Okay.
You said something about orgasm. You mentioned orgasm. So I just want to ask. This is a personal question, of course. Okay. Did you experience that within the first, you know, few times?
No.
Were you worried that you would never be able to reach orgasm? And did you ever, you know, worry that perhaps it's your husband who doesn't really understand what to do? Were you ever at that point?
I was not worried. I was not worried because I felt it's just a stage. And you know, this kind of stage where you are getting to do something for the first time, even though it wasn't, it's no longer the first time now. I'm talking about like, subsequently you've been doing it. I felt there will be time where I will reach orgasm, maybe not now.
Okay.
Because my body was still accepting my husband,
still,
if you know what I mean,
to,
still getting used to him. But right now I can beat my chest and say, yes, I've reached orgasm so many times.
Hallelujah, sister! Congratulations! I mean, that's not the case with some other women.
Yes.
They struggle for years.
It's true.
You know?
A lot of women don't reach orgasm.
Especially, you know, they waited and now they are married and so, okay, let me have sex. And then they are reading these things out there, women squirting, having orgasm, ejaculating.
Yeah.
And they don't even know what those things
like.
Are. They can't relate.
That's why I said explore within. If you have the time. Because married people most times don't have the time.
Married people don't have the time.
They don't. If you have the time. What is wrong with, you don't necessarily have to go to Maldives to have a very
vacation,
exotic,
romantic kind
get
of.
Yourself maybe in a hotel if your house is not enough, if your children are disturbing, just look for a very,
just be
very
freaky,
calm, yes,
freaky.
Just probably if you
forget,
take 1 week leave. Get yourself into the mood. When I mean into the mood, start preparing your mind before you decide to go on that holiday. Don't even allow anything disturb your mind.
Okay.
Then tell yourself, see, this thing, I must do it. When I do it, I must reach orgasm. If I write down the styles you want to practice, after all, it's not a sin.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, now. It's not a sin. So
I mean, you can write it down in your head. I don't know why you have to put it out on paper. I think you're actually lucky to think that you waited for marriage to, you know, before having sex. And then when you finally got married, when you thought, oh, now this is it, express sex, then you just get pregnant. Because pregnancy has a way of, you know, influencing these things. And then after that, you have to still deal with postpartum. Then it's only after then you've recovered and stuff, you can now continue your sexual journey. I think you're lucky in these 4 years of your marriage to be able to eventually reach, you know, the climax of your sexual experience, because not every woman is able to say the same, especially given your own unique circumstances. You got pregnant. One touch, girl, you got pregnant, you know. You have to deal with all of that. So people don't, there's no recovering from that for some people. Because if the foundation is shaky, it's like, it's gone. I don't know, I think you're lucky.
Thank you, bro. Another thing is, are you making the marriage work?
Mm.
Because it's not, see, postpartum is terrible. People experience depression.
Mm-hmm.
And they find a way to come out of it. Some women don't come out of it.
Wow.
So are you making the marriage work? Like, are you finding ways to do this thing? Are you finding ways to make it better? Or you're just there like, oh,
expecting a miracle.
Yes, this thing happened to me. Then you dwell on that part. No. So you have to bring yourself out of it.
Mm.
It's not easy. Trust me. I'm just saying I'm just saying it now and it's looking like, okay,
you know.
It's very simple. No, it was not. It was not easy at all. So I'm just saying that it's important for you to, for every stage of your marriage, let yourself make it work. Not just you, your spouse as well.
Okay.
Because for a man who is inexperienced, you will need to teach him some things. You too, you also need to learn. Whatever you're learning, you're teaching your husband.
Okay.
And if you want to reach orgasm, well, honestly, I don't know the name of that style, but I think I would recommend riding your man. Ride him.
Cowgirl. Like,
yes. Okay, is that... Forgive me. It's true, cowgirl. Ride him with all your mind, with your chest out. With your chest out. Girls.
I think it's important to practice that within a safe space where your spouse will not judge you. Because there are some people who have waited, and then when they get married, they are even scared of exploring because of the fear that their spouse is already passing judgment on them. Like, so what is she even doing? Or what is he even doing? You're trying to, you know, put yourself in that mood,
impressing.
Writing, but he's feeling like you're not writing him well. And so that fear can also limit you.
Let him teach you how to do it. Yes. If you want your wife to perform
ladies
something,
and gentlemen. Okay. Thank you so much for being on this episode. I appreciate your honesty.
Thank you as well.
You told us what has crossed your mind, what has not crossed your mind. You told us that the first night wasn't exactly, you know, pleasant. I really totally appreciate your honesty. Thank you for being on this podcast. So, if there's somebody out there who is currently practicing abstinence,
stay strong.
Stay strong. That's the word. I'm going to repeat what she has said. Stay strong. And again, she has also said it's not easy. None of this is easy. But I mean, she said when you enter the marriage, it's religion, love,
trust, understanding,
mm-hmm. you know, and all of that. So if you're currently married and you waited and you're feeling like there's something out there, the devil is trying to sell you a lie, sister. Devil's trying to sell you a lie, brother. Ain't nothing out there. Stay in your marriage
and explore,
make it work. And by the grace of God, who created sex? By the grace of God, you know, you're going to be fine. Don't worry, you will squirt. Is it squirt? You will squirt. Is it orgasm? You will orgasm. By the grace of God.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. So if you have a comment to drop on this episode, you know where to find me. Leave your comments on Podroom. Podroom allows you to comment on each episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please rate this podcast. I'm hoping for a 5-star rating. You can also write a review on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on any other platform, Google Podcasts, you know, wherever you listen, please subscribe. Subscription is absolutely free. Once again, I need you to share this podcast with your friends, with your family, with your enemies, with everybody you know. Just share it, okay? Someone could benefit from this episode. So guys, thank you for listening, and until the next episode, bye and be good.
Young in love.